Welcome to the Anarchy Gumbo Podcast. Michael W. Dean of the Freedom Fiends cooks up a very special blend of liberty, guns, sex, rock and roll, drugs, and thriving in spite of the state in an increasingly worrying world. All with a rotating cast of nifty guests who are also up in the middle of the night.
Anarchy Gumbo is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of the Anarchy Gumbo Podcast. Today we have a very special Anarchy Gumbo, the triumphant return of Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. How you doing, Ben?
Hey, I'm doing great, Michael. Good to be back on the show with you.
You've been out wandering the wilderness looking for God, and you've returned to your home with more information that can be shared with society, which makes you a hero in the hero's journey.
I've been walking the earth.
I'm just going to walk the earth. You mean you want to be a bum? No, I'm going to walk the earth. I watched that movie the other day. It's great.
Yeah, the only difference is I was walking the earth in a $100,000 motorhome driving around.
But you were probably carrying a 45, which the character in Pulp Fiction who says, I'm going to walk the earth, does.
I actually don't have any 45s. I have a variety of others, but 38 Special is my walk around.
Yeah, me too, but 38 Special doesn't sound as badass when you're misquoting the Bible before you shoot somebody like in that movie.
Very true, very true.
And he actually says, Mr. 9mm here, but it's a 45, it's a 1911, isn't it?
I think so. I suppose it could be a 9mm in that style, but from the size, I mean, and it's hard to tell because they, you know, they jam the gun right up to the camera at times, but.
Yeah. So you walked the earth, you and your wife walked the earth for how long? When did you leave and when did you get back?
We left in December, right after Christmas, and we got back home yesterday evening. So however long that is.
And it's March 8th. So 2.5 months.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. 3-2, something like that.
We went through 17 states and went up to the Liberty Forum in New Hampshire and had, you know, through snowstorms and sleet and hail and traffic jams in New York.
Bad audio.
Oh, very bad in the hotel.
No, in the hotel hallway. I did I made lemonade out of lemons because I used the one bad audio you've done in the past year as a teaching hospital example on the Creamy Radio Audio Podcast, telling people how not to do bad audio.
Yeah, and you had a great suggestion, too. I would have never thought of going into a car, but they are really well insulated. That would have been a perfect thing.
Yeah, and you said it would have been too cold, but Kevin McKernan, who you interviewed, said it wasn't too cold. So maybe he's calling you a pussy. Do you want to start a pod beef with Kevin?
Well, he was just in Iceland. So when you compare a little storm in New Hampshire to Iceland, you know, New Hampshire's probably pretty comfortable.
Yes. And he lives in Massachusetts, which is known for being about 90 degrees in December, isn't it? Or in this time of year? No, it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's colder than a witch's tit in a brass brassiere.
Visual audio or visual aids there.
Yeah. So what new information did you bring back from your hero's journey to share with society?
I'm not sure that I have slept enough and recovered from the actual driving to really recap everything. So I can't really give an answer yet.
Yeah. So we're just going to talk about Phenamint gum here, laxative gum for 45 minutes, I think.
Sure, we could do that. That is a pretty funny thing over on your Freedom Fiends. I haven't listened to the podcast yet, but I was looking around over there, and you linked over to an old ad for Phenamint gum, which was a laxative gum that was actually kind of tasty in a weird way.
Yeah, it was something that they had when we were kids that probably started 20, 30 years before that. Based on the packaging pictures that we saw, they looked really, really old school, like 1930s old school. And I think they stopped making it because I'm assuming because young boys probably bought it and gave it to their teachers or something and said, I got you some gum. Thank you, Billy.
Another product that's interesting like that was the old diet chewable, like a chocolatey AIDS. Chewable AIDS. Yeah, you can eat the AIDS and you get thinner and thinner and thinner.
Yeah. Did it work?
I never tried it, but the irony in naming something like that, I don't know. That's really kind of sick and bizarre, but, you know.
Well, yeah, they didn't. I wonder if they've renamed that. I know that Rice-A-Roni stopped being the San Francisco treat around the time AIDS started being publicized.
Interesting thought.
As for weight loss chocolates, they used to make, back in the snake oil sales days before the government protected us from things. Well, actually, we could talk about why it wasn't the government that protected us. But back in the 1800s, they used to sell a diet aid that actually worked. And it was, you only had to take it once. It was, and it was a chocolate. And you'd take it, and it had tapeworm eggs in it. So you would be infested with tapeworms, and they would eat all your food and, you know, grow to many feet long and fill your intestines, but you'd lose weight.
And then, if I recall, you would take some type of a sulfur drug or something that would expel them all when you achieved your target weight.
I didn't know that. I've lost like 23 pounds and stayed there on the Fiends diet.
Tell me about the Fiends diet.
Well, there is a blog post about the Fiends diet. I could probably post it, or I could send it to you on Pigeon. Are you on Pigeon? No, you're not on that computer, are you?
No, wrong computer. I was just thinking I'm gonna mention this podcast on my podcast. So any of my listeners who come over who are not familiar with your other podcasts, that might be a good thing for them to hear about and maybe check it out.
Well, there's we do three podcasts right now. The main one is the Freedom Fiends podcast, which is Nima Vedati and myself. It's the more popular one, and we do it three times a week. And then once a week, I do this cast, the Anarchy Gumbo podcast. Freedom Fiends is at freedomfiends, FEENS.com. This is the Anarchy Gumbo podcast, which is once a week, and it's interviews. And it's at kittyfeet.com, KittyFeet.com. And we have a new one called Creamy Radio Audio, which is whenever we feel like it. And the episodes are usually short, like 5 minutes, 6 minutes. And that's about how to do good audio on a low. It's how to do caviar sound on a cat food budget, as our ad says.
And so the Freedom Fiends one was where we were talking about Phenomint, being ironic that you would have that that name.
Yeah. So if people just search Freedom Fiends Diet on Google, it'll be the first result that comes up. Yeah, it'll come up and it'll say, or just Fiends Diet. And the title is called How I Lost 20 Pounds in 6 Weeks on the Fiends Diet. And it's actually more than that now. It's, let's see, 37? No, wait, I was 180. Let me see. I was 189 when I started, and I am now 165. So I lost, that's not 30 some pounds. That's 23 pounds, 24 pounds, but I've stayed there. And I'm eating yummy food and eating a lot and not really doing tiny portion control kind of thing. Basically, it was a lot. It was quitting a lot of things that I ate a lot of. I used to drink about a gallon of milk a day, and now I drink about a glass of milk a day. I used to eat peanut butter, like processed peanut butter with sugar in it, with a spoon. Like, I would sit there with a glass of milk and crunchy peanut butter and eat like a third of the jar in one sitting. And I don't do that anymore. And then a lot of it's just, not eating much candy, not eating donuts, eating a lot of meat and a lot of fresh vegetables. What it started with was we wanted to do a paleo diet, and we looked into it, and we were like, this is too much. We won't stick to it. And sticking to something is important. You know, I always said, like, you're going to get in better shape going to the gym 3 times a week or 2 times a week for years and years and years than you are if you go 6 times a week and burn yourself out and stop going after 6 months. And it's the same with dieting. It's the same with being an ethical anarchist. It's the same with doing a podcast or doing a radio show. It's all about the long view, I think. Has that been your experience in life?
It has. Yeah. You overproduce, you get too much of yourself involved in the project or whatever. And then it doesn't, maybe it, you know, it either wears you down or it doesn't produce the immediate result that you're hoping for. And yeah. So you kind of get burned out and step away from it. We used to, in the forum world, we used to refer to that as the 1 year meltdown, where a lot of forum members sort of disappear after a year because, it's taking too much of their time and they're not really getting the results that they wanted.
I've done that on several forums. I did that on the Free State Wyoming forum. I have 4,000 posts on there, and they were all in like a 15-month period, and then it tapered down, and I haven't posted on there in 9 months or a year, and I've only looked at it like 3 times in that time. I did it with the Free State Project forum. I did it with some sex, bondage forums that my wife and I met on back in the day. And bondage. Boy, that's Stefan Molyneux's gonna, the little button just went off on his computer, a little red light. He needs to call me up and tell me why I had a bad childhood.
You were abused.
Yeah, he thinks everyone had a bad childhood. I'm happy, man. Are you happy in your life?
I am. I am very happy in my life. I would say that I'm almost shocked at how good my life is.
Well, we're not here to talk about me. We're here to talk about you, and you've been strangely absent for the most part from the internet. You know, some could almost were worried you were pod fading, which is the podcast equivalent of the 1 year burn. What did you call it? The 1 year what? The 1 year. You had a word
for forgot.
It.
I forgot. Yeah. Yeah, I did.
It's, but pod fading is when people start a podcast and they do it, 5 times a week or whatever, and then it kind of fades down to less and then it goes away, which our good friend Garrett Fox did. And I'm really sad about it. He actually used to joke that the podcasting equipment he got a podcasting kit on Amazon, and he called it the Pod Fade 3000. And I guess it was a self-fulfilling prophecy, but I'm glad you didn't pod fade. I'm glad you're back. It was basically just you didn't have good internet access, right? Traveling in campgrounds.
Yeah, it was a miscalculation on our part, my wife and I, because we had really expected to be able to have better connections than that. You go to the website of the campground and you check it all out and even call them and ask them, and they're like, oh yeah, we have really good, and then you go there and you plug in and for 5 minutes you've got a good connection, then it's gone, and then it's back in 5 minutes and then it's gone again, and you can't really upload anything of any size under conditions like that.
Well, what they do is they have, what we figured out, you and I, is that those campgrounds have like one home DSL line and then a wireless router, and it's shared among everybody who's there. So if you go on at 4 a.m, you might have okay access. But in the mornings and afternoons and evenings, there's a bunch of old people, sharing pictures of their grandchildren on the internet, and you can't get on.
And trying to outthink old people when it comes to a clock is not doable, because you think, like, for instance, there's shower rooms that you can use their showers rather than the tiny cramped showers of motorhomes and RVs. So you think, okay, I'll just go over to the nice big comfortable warm shower house and take my shower, but I'll do it at an odd time so that I don't have to deal with other people. So at 4 o'clock in the morning, you go over to take a shower, there's 3 old men over there. And so you're like, okay, well, tomorrow I'll go at 6. Nope, there's 2 old men over there. All right, 9 a.m., there's 5 old men. When do these people sleep? 4 o'clock in the afternoon? No, there's a line, So I think the same thing with the internet. I think they sleep and wake at odd times, and they jump on the internet and download the pictures of their grandkids. And it surges back and forth so much that it's unpredictable.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right.
And people eat at weird times too.
Has anybody yet taken your face and put it on the Quaker Oats picture?
Somebody, I can't remember who. Well, I think I remember who did that. Nope. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
They just used the red, white, and blue and the font, right?
Yeah, not enough to get lawyers in a bunch about it. But
I'll get lawyers
in
a bunch about it. I don't care. I'll do it while we're talking right now. So, tell us more about what you learned walking the earth.
I think I've come to a conclusion that I'm adjusting my method a bit. I used to maybe get a little overexcited in dealing with people within the liberty movement that are not quite moving in the direction I feel that they should.
Get off my lawn, you libertarian Republicans.
But I think I was right in the sense that those people have a completely different goal than we have, and they're not helping us, and we're not going to help them, and working with them is poisonous to us. But
really? You want to name names here? Who are you talking about?
Well, I could drop the big RP, you know.
Ron Paul? Rand Paul?
I could do that. Yeah, either one would fit. Rand would be more obvious. But I think people like that are almost dead on, but they miss the critical element of anarchy. They still want to hold on. They want to cling to the Constitution or cling to a small government or something. That means that the core of their philosophy is flawed, and they still depend on the aggression of people using guns to collect taxes and forcing you to behave the way they want.
Bastards.
Yeah, so at its core, the 99% guy who's almost there, who's still clinging to the state, who still thinks the Constitution can save us, at his core, he's exactly like the liberal or the conservative or the conscientious voter who's trying to do the right thing. He's still right in there with them. At the core, he's still flawed, and he wants a different thing fundamentally than what we want.
So basically, you walked the earth and came back with some criticisms of other libertarians.
Possibly. Yeah. But a criticism of myself, too, because my way of dealing with them, I wanted desperately to figure out a way how we could unite together and work together for the same ultimate goal, but maybe, you know, one degree off from each other. But I've come to the conclusion that me putting emotion and me putting mental effort into that is counterproductive. What I need to do is really focus more on myself and on how, as an individual, I can bring more and more aspects of anarchy and the clear understanding of what that means into my life. And if other people see that and they think, okay, this is good, then come along, you know, let's go. But it's not necessarily my job to pick on the Rand Pauls out there and demand that they come along. I need to just realize they're not part of us. Don't expect them to be part of us.
So you walked the earth and you came back with criticisms of fellow. I'm just teasing you, man.
Yeah.
What else you got? What else did you learn? That was a good lesson. I like that.
The other thing that I have as sort of a takeaway from the time on the road is that other than the internet connection, my wife and I have really come to the conclusion that we can do this. We can do this full time, and we can actually save money. It's going to be a lot more stable than having a house and trying to upkeep a house and all the bills that go with a house. The only thing we need to fix is the internet connection, and there appears to be a couple of options that we might be able to take care of that as well.
Yeah. Talk about them, because this is a teaching hospital.
I think, and I'm looking at different phone companies and what they offer and so forth, and I think that there are at least two, maybe AT&T and possibly Verizon, that offer a business account so that we can have internet access, and I would be able to upload the kind of quantity of the quantity and the sizes of files that we're talking about to have a 5-day a week podcast. I think we can do that at a reasonable price, less than what we're currently paying for our internet provider at home, because it's bundled with our TV and our phone and everything. And we already have phone, and we're going to be having satellite TV for our motorhome. So technically we don't even need cable TV at home, because we'll have the mobile satellite for TV. So I think we can cut our home Time Warner cable, which gives us phone, internet, and television, and go with 100% mobile all year. and actually save money on it, even though we're going to be paying maybe $50 to $100 just for internet connection.
What year did the Bad Quaker podcast start?
2011, I believe, about March or so of 2011.
Okay, cool.
Well, that's not right either. Our website started about there, and I don't think I started podcasting for a month or two after that. I think the first few attempts, Kai and I would put out like a 20-minute podcast, and then like a week later, we'd put out another one. And then it was probably about 3 or 4 months into that you know, email demands and so listener demands.
2012?
I would say probably late 2011 before we were really consistent and producing on a daily basis.
Cool. What else, man? Yeah. Tell us more. Are you happy to be back?
In a way, it's nice to be home because I can take care of the things that we need to do. Unfortunately, that's like taxes and things like that. In other ways, though, as we were coming into Ohio, we live about, I'd say, about 40 minutes inside Ohio. And as we crossed the Ohio River, came out of Kentucky, and we're coming across the bridge, and it had been a fairly good trip across Kentucky. And as we're crossing the bridge into Ohio, this big blob of dirty snow falls off the bridge. Right as we're passing the sign that says, "Welcome to Ohio," this dirty snowball smacks us right in the windshield. So it was kind of like saying, "Welcome to Ohio," smack, there's a snowball in the face. And the whole way driving home was on some of the worst roads that we've been are in Ohio. And you're having, you know, bum, 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 hearing the tires just pounding the whole way. And my wife and I are joking. It's like, you know, this should be the state anthem of Ohio. It should be clickety, 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 followed by the occasional bam.
Yeah, when DJ and I did our reconnaissance trip of Wyoming before we moved here, we came here about 6 or 8 weeks before we moved here and spent a week driving around the state, visiting different places and deciding where to live. I mean, we pretty much had it down to three cities because there's only three cities that are large enough to have enough lawyers that she could work as a paralegal, which is what she's very good at and trained at. And it was Gillette, Casper, and Cheyenne. And we didn't much like Gillette. We really didn't like Cheyenne. Cheyenne is like Denver North, and it's the seat of government here. And Casper is like a delightful little small town. And it's kind of, it looks like the town in it looks like Westfield, New York, the town I grew up in, like Westfield, New York looked like when I was a kid. It's really weird. It's kind of frozen in time in a good way here. But when we drove, I mean, there's almost no traffic in Wyoming. Like my wife's commute, we're on the opposite end of town from her work. And when there's not snow or bad rain, her commute is 6 minutes. And in the worst snow, her commute is about 9 or 10 minutes. In LA, it was between 45 minutes and an hour and 15 minutes each way. And it wasn't that much further than her commute here. And when we got back to LA and hit LA traffic, we got into LA at like 5:45, you know, in the afternoon on a weekday.
Yeah.
And we hit the traffic, you know, 20 miles away from our home, but you know, it took an hour and a half or 2 hours to get that last 20 miles. And she literally started crying like, "Oh my God, we need to get out of here."
Wow.
Yeah. Check your email. I just sent you a proposed image for this that I don't know if we should use, but
I'll give it a look here.
Yeah. It's not great Photoshopping, but we'll see.
One-handed Photoshopping while running a soundboard?
No, while pleasuring myself.
Uh-oh.
Because I'm so happy you're home, no homo. I'm really happy you're home, man. Like you and I talk a lot on the phone, like, you know, like schoolgirls. I mean, we talk and just gossip and talk about how bad all the other libertarians are and how we're perfect. And I couldn't do that because you were either out of minutes because you were, you know, you didn't have a landline there and you were arranging travel and arranging appearances as a libertarian rock star. And you did get a lot of autograph requests when you spoke. I know that. That's good. And I was missing my Ben Quaker fix, man. I was missing being able to talk to you three times a week for an hour or two at a time.
That picture that you sent is so horribly Photoshopped that it'd be great. I dare you to sue over that. Come on.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. They are litigious, and we are talking about knowing they're litigious.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll edit that out. I don't know. Should I use it?
I think it would be okay, because I think it's...
fair use, but they probably don't, but we'll see.
Well, there's something about using things in a comedic fashion or something. I can't remember the
it is damn funny, I must say. All right. Should probably take the trademark notice off. Huh? So tell me more about, have you put your house up for sale yet?
No, we've got to make a few modifications. We were, you know, the yard that I've been growing vegetables and herbs and things on.
And spices. 26 herbs and spices.
I actually do have quite a variety of herbs and spices that I grow here. And so it's not at all the acceptable, you know, grass lawns and that kind of thing. I have a variety of, I have some hugel culture and some, what's the other? I have some raised beds and some weird experimentation with watering things and stuff.
Is that legal?
In some places, it's not. In the city that we're in here, they haven't really done anything to stop people. I have a wide variety of herbs in my front yard that are right along the walkway, so that a person walking by is going to see, like, you know, marjoram, and I can't even remember all of them, cilantro, cilantro is the herb that's the leaf, and then the spice that comes off of it is the seed, which is coriander. So I have all these things growing right along the sidewalk in the front out there, and in the winter it's really ugly. In the summer it kind of looks like overgrown bushes, but if you know what it is, you can practically live off of the food in the front of our yard.
Is that a selling point when you go to sell it? Includes a victory garden.
It would be for me, but I think most people are going to want to see a standard green grass with no dandelions. And
Yeah. People are so stupid. So I don't know if that answered my question. Did you put your house up for sale yet?
No, I haven't yet. We have to make it acceptable and make it all vanilla in order for people to buy it, because they can't imagine, you know, they see something that's in any way unusual, and they can't imagine, you know, their furniture there and not yours.
Yeah, there's actually an art to that. It's called staging when they do an open house. You know, one thing is you chase the family out for the day if they're still living there, but if they're not living there, I mean, they'll like rent plants and rent furniture, or they have a, you know, the company that's listing you actually owns some of that stuff, and they'll bring it in and make it look like kind of nice in a generic way, which makes it easier than if the rooms are empty for people to imagine their stuff in there.
Yeah, because evidently buyers are so helpless. Stupid. Yeah, yeah. that they walk into an empty room and they can't imagine what furniture would look like in it.
Yeah. So let's take a little break here, man. Go sell some stuff.
Did your world collapse when Ron Paul didn't win? Don't keep hoping for some great man to fix government through government. Complete your evolution today to full-on anarcho-capitalist. Reward your brain with the freedom fiends and quit breaking your heart with some politician. While the libertarians argue,
but who would build the roads?
The freedom fiends have already built the roads and moved on to making the great media content of the libertarian paradise. Freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes. Follow twitter.com/fiendtorrents to grab the past episodes and new ones as they post. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents, while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding the Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down. That's twitter.com/fiendtorrents.
You're listening to the Anarchy Gumbo Podcast, a tasty stew of freedom and fun. Subscribe at kittyfeet.com. That's KittyFeet.com.
Welcome back to the Anarchy Gumbo Podcast. This is Michael W. Dean. Today, our guest is Ben Stone, also known as the Bad Quaker. What's up, Ben?
Hey, Michael.
What's up, Bad? I'm doing a really short show description for this one. It's the triumphant return of Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. And it says, Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, returns from his hero's journey of walking the earth and brings new knowledge to share with society. And what I want to talk about more, I want to hear from you more, is about your plan to sell your house and have you and your wife drive around the country in a van solving mysteries. That was kind of my dream when I first met my wife. And then I got, because I didn't like California, and we moved to Wyoming, and I got so settled in here that I've done the opposite. I'm like literally not leaving the house this year. I mean, I'll go to Walmart with her, but she has two trips out of town this year, and I'm not going on either of them. One's business and one's family. And I'm sitting right here. I'm sitting in this chair. I'm barely even leaving this chair, and I like it. So I'm taking the hermit attitude towards liberty and life, and you are taking a way I'm kind of looking at what you're planning on doing is you're going to become an expat, but remain in America, but remain on the move. Do you like that?
I like that. And that's kind of part of the thought too. You know, we look at how much we're spending living in a house, how much local taxes we're paying, how much, here in Ohio, there's a city income tax and there's the property tax and there, in some places there's sales tax, even a local sales tax. And there's just layers and layers and layers of just giving money to these people, whether you want to or not. And I can eliminate a lot of that. And you and I have talked before, you know, I like the idea of agorism. I like the concept of that, but there's only so much of that that's practical. But if you can eliminate as many opportunities as possible of spending money for no reason other than to spend money, to keep up with your neighbors, to have your yard look like the neighbors want, and, you know, to keep the type of plants that your neighbors want in your yard. And, you know, if you can avoid that kind of stuff just by getting rid of the yard, or by, you know, in this case, getting rid of the whole property and getting out on your own, and then maybe you're not living the perfect agorist world, you know, maybe you're not 100% off the grid, but if I can comfortably live 50% more off the grid than I am now, then why should I continue to, you know, waste my time shoveling snow when I could be sitting on a beach?
That brings up an interesting question. If you're not planning on being a total, you know, lawless gypsy, is there anything in place legally, tax-wise and residence-wise, for someone who literally doesn't have a residence?
They make it very difficult. There are a lot of full-time RV people who do this, and there are kind of tricks around things. Like, for instance, there are ways in Florida where you can go through an organization like, I believe it's the Good Sam Club, although it could be AARP or one of those other organizations, but where you can actually set up a mailbox so that to all governmental agencies, it appears as though you're a resident of Florida. You can get your car license there and all these kind of things. And essentially, you don't ever have to visit Florida, which is a good idea. But although we were in the corner of Florida, we were in the little corner of Florida on this trip, and it really wasn't bad. But mostly I would try to avoid Florida. But using that as an example, that's one way of doing it so that you can still register a vehicle and not, you know, have to deal with the whole sovereign citizen thing of making your own fake plate and hoping you don't get pulled over in the middle of Mississippi or somewhere.
So I guess Florida is to RVs what Delaware is to corporations.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, Wyoming, a lot of people don't know this, but Wyoming is also that kind of entity for corporations. There's a lot of corporations that do not have a business in Wyoming who register and have a P.O. box or maybe an office with one person here for the same reasons people do it in Delaware. And Wyoming is a lot less crowded if you ever want to actually move your business here. Montana has a similar thing with RVs that you're talking about in Florida. And actually, there's a guy I should turn you on to who is a kind of a friend of mine and a fan of mine. I met him because he reviewed my user's manual for the human experience on some book review site, and I found it and started chatting with him. He's a really nice guy. He's a, you know, small government libertarian. He's an ex-army sniper. He teaches martial arts, including being able to physically disarm someone pointing a weapon at you. He's really good at that, and he's got a bunch of videos out that sell pretty well on what's that press that writes the books on how to dispose of bodies and stuff? Paladin Press. They put his videos out. And he also, he works for a law firm that used to do general law. Like in places like Wyoming and Montana, people generally don't specialize a lot. Like my wife's law firm does everything because you kind of have to be a lawyer here. But the law firm that he works for basically laid everybody off except him and the guy who owns it. And all he does in the law firm is registers RVs as whatever status you're talking about.
Wow.
Do you want to meet him? I'll introduce you.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be very interesting.
Yeah. And he's hipper than whoever you'd be dealing with at the old Sam's Club. So are you on?
Definitely.
Are you now hanging out on forums where you at, how old are you?
Oh, 50 to what year is this? 52, I think.
So are you hanging out on forums now? Where you are the youngest person on the forum?
I'm not really on any forums. I've floated by and read some stuff, but I haven't, like, you know, made a profile and that kind of thing. But in the actual RV parks themselves, we're, my wife and I are generally the children there. We're the youngest ones.
Nice. Are you an AARP member? You were reading something in the sound check from them.
Yeah, they send me stuff on a regular basis trying to get me to apply, and I'm not. Although it's tempting because there are so many advantages, you know, but they use the money for all kinds of evil statist stuff anyway. So,
yeah, I mean, there are other organizations that offer kind of some of the same things. One is the NRA, actually, who, you know, pick your poison, but they have
more statists.
Discounts and insurance, and you know, I guess these days you got to join a gang. You can't just join a club. You have to join a gang to get benefits of any kind.
That's essentially what it is. I know we weren't really going to go into the political end of it, but that's what it is. Man.
Just when you thought you were out, they drag you back in.
Yeah,
I'm fine with staying off that tip if you want.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I relapsed into politics, and I will go up and raise my hand as a newcomer at the anarchy meetings. And really, if you think about it, anarchists should be talking about politics never, but they talk about politics. We talk about politics nonstop. It's kind of like I used to go to this AA meeting in San Francisco. I went to a lot of meetings there, and I don't go anymore. I'm not really a member anymore. I'm still sober, but so I can say that I used to go because I'm not a member. I'm not breaking my anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, and podcasts. So there was, you know, a lot of the meetings seemed kind of square to me. And now if I were to go to a meeting, I wouldn't care if it was people I didn't relate with because it's all about the recovery. But in early recovery, I was concerned about appearances and what kind of music people listen to. And I felt I couldn't stay sober if I wasn't in a room full of weirdos like me. So The weirdo meeting there was until I started one called Lust for Life, an NA meeting that went on for 10 years and helped a lot of people. I used to go to one before that called Atheists, Agnostics, Anarchists AA meeting. I guess it was AAAAA. And they weren't really anarchists. I mean, they were kind of like snot-nosed punks, but they weren't anarchists mostly and didn't understand that. But a lot of them were atheists or agnostics. And they went there because they didn't like going to meetings where people talk about God and do prayers. But I would say that people talked about God in the form of resentments against God and religious people. People talked about God more at the atheist AA meeting than they did at the normal AA meetings. And it's kind of like that with anarchists. It's like, why are we talking about government nonstop?
Part of it, I think, you know, Stefan Molyneux, you mentioned him earlier.
You brought him up. We like him. We just like to razz him because he's not perfect and we are.
Yeah. But he, you know, he talks about the gun in the room. I think he pretty much brought that into the conversation of ignoring the gun in the room or talking about the gun in the room.
Did he really? I've wondered where that came from. You sure that's not like Rothbard or something?
I'm, you know, I know Rothbard talked about them being a gang of thieves, and even Spooner talked about, you know, that they were the highwaymen and things like that. But the first I knew of anyone actually repeating the phrase "gun in the room" came from Stefan, and he may have gotten it from somebody who's our mutual friend down there,
Boston, that does Tea videos. Party? Oh.
I don't know when he started. Does he use the phrase?
Maybe. And he's been writing books about liberty for about 15 years, which is longer than Stefan Molyneux has been making videos.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's used that phrase, but he's definitely, if he hasn't used that phrase, he would definitely be an intermediary between Rothbard and Molyneux, because he did talk a lot about explaining the non-aggression principle in terms of people throwing you in a cage if you don't agree. You know, actually, I think who came up with it before that, I'm trying to think his name. We used a photo from one of his books in the Guns and Weed movie. It's a picture. It's a book from like 20 years ago. He's an economist. He used to do a like gold investing newsletter or like investment newsletter, like paper newsletter, like 20, 25 years ago. God, what is his name?
Not Gary North, is it?
Yes, Gary North. I think Gary North used that term when Stefan Molyneux was in public, private, government-funded grade school.
That could be. Gary North and did Gary a lot North of breakthrough
was,
work.
Gary North was writing books before Boston, and Boston credits and thanks Gary North and quotes him in Boston's books. I think Gary North might have come up with that. And, you know, like most libertarians from 20, 25 years ago, I think he was kind of one of those patriot type, you know, not full on anarcho-capitalist, but yeah. But the term anarcho-capitalist, I believe Rothbard came up with that, didn't he?
Yeah, that's his. He coined that phrase.
Yeah,
you know, Gary North, he's moved a lot in his position since like the 80s and so forth. But not long ago, it was about a year and a half ago, he debated Walter Block, who Walter Block is a professor at a mostly government funded university. And Gary North's position was, don't go to college, don't work for a college, don't have anything, you know, don't do any of those things. Educate yourself and make money for yourself. Honestly, don't take it, you know, through the university system. And I thought he did a really good job at arguing the anarchist position on that. And I think the anarchist Walter Block failed in defending his position. Although Walter Block had a much better delivery in the debate, because Walter Block is funny and you know, Gary North is not.
Gary North is kind of an academic. And I also he was doing Liberty Media before everyone had a microphone and a camera in their home. He was writing hardcover books published by big publishing companies, you know, on a typewriter. And doing that your whole life makes it probably harder to, get what young people get now, where they get a computer, they turn it on, and it's got a webcam in it, and an hour later they're putting up a YouTube video, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I find it kind of ironic with that working for a college thing that Jason Sorens, who invented the Free State Project, was, I don't have a problem with that he was, but he still is a professor, an adjunct professor at a state university in New York, which the Free State Project, when they did their George Washington University, he actually did a study, did two of them, which were probably government funded. But they're very useful PDFs on, they're called Freedom in the 50 States. Have you seen those?
I think I have.
They rank New Hampshire first and they rank New York dead last. And, Jason Sorens, the PhD, guy who invented, he basically wrote a blog post. Do you know about this? How the Free State Project started?
Yeah. Yeah. I was watching them early on.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Jason Sorens wrote a really short, you know, probably 200, 300 word essay about, you know, instead of trying to spread libertarianism everywhere, let's move them all to one place and then they'll have influence, like political influence and economic influence. And it was published on L. Neil Smith's blog like 10, 11 years ago. And people kind of picked it up and ran with it to where Jason Sorens didn't have to do anything, which is kind of cool. I like the idea of writing a post, you know, before T, dividing up the Liberty Empire before T, and just forgetting about it and having it take on a life of its own. That's really cool. And I hope to do something like that someday. Some would say I have, but, you know, I'd like to. And somehow you and I, you know, me and Nima and I and you seem to be a lot of people's path to liberty, which is really an honor to me. But we haven't really started a movement per se. And it's pretty cool that he did that. But it's ironic to me, and almost, I don't know if hypocritical is the word, let's just say ironic, that he is still a college professor, lives in New York, and hasn't bothered to move to this thing that was created from this idea he came up with. He goes there a lot, he speaks there, but he hasn't moved there.
It's kind of funny, too, that L. Neil Smith, especially in the direction that everything has gone copyright-wise, that L. Neil Smith was such a influence in the beginning of the Free State Project.
Well, a lot of those older guys are still copyright guys. And, you know, I don't think L. Neil Smith wants to enforce it with the government, but he does believe that you put something out there, you put some words on it, and it's copyrighted, and then people should be punished in some way. I don't even know. I've been trying to get an interview with him for a long time, but he's a real hard guy to get a hold of. And, you know, I'd love to hear his side of it. If anyone hears this, let him know. Love to have him come on the Gumbo and discuss it and everything, because he's a big influence on me. His comic books, or I guess graphic novels with Scott Beezer, really were an influence on me early on of what LibPair should look like what a libertarian paradise would look like. But I think it gets back to, again, like, those are guys who started doing stuff 25, 20 years ago, maybe more, who were like writing stuff on typewriters, you know? And that was the model back then. There wasn't, I think copyright idea changed a lot with the internet, because and with the idea of digital media, where you can do it so fast that people can't keep up with laws. You know, it changes too fast.
I think you're right. I didn't really think about copyright from a libertarian point of view or from an anarchist point of view or anything like that until MP3 sharing came along.
Awesome.
And I looked at that and I said, well, this is so obvious what's right and wrong, you know, to copy an MP3 and to play it. First off, there was this myth that was going around that, well, once you make an MP3 of something, then it's going to last forever and it will never, it's not like a record that'll wear out or a tape, you know, that'll wear out. But the fact is, you have bit rot in computers. MP3s don't last forever. They degenerate. So an MP3 is a compressed version anyway. It's not a complete, you know, as you know, not all the information is there in an MP3.
There's actually one-tenth of the amount of information that's in an uncompressed file. But it's it sounds a lot better than 1/10 as good as an uncompressed file, because it uses neurological algorithms, basically, of not having to include the parts that your ear generally can't hear.
So my argument back then was, well, if you can take a reel-to-reel type cassette tape or whatever and record off of an FM station, just record a song and then listen to it for yourself, and there's nothing wrong with that, then why can't I make an MP3 of something and listen to that? It didn't make any sense to me that there needed to be laws and there needed to be, you know, some type of government enforcement. And that was the first I really started thinking of IP laws or copyrights or anything else like that. And then it was like a cascade of, once you start thinking about it from a liberty point of view, then you've got to start rejecting everything you've been taught in order to stay consistent. And, I mentioned to, I was talking to Jeffrey Tucker not long ago, and I mentioned that Rothbard really didn't cover the topic, but like Jeffrey said, none of us were thinking about that back then. It just wasn't something that people thought about. Although Rothbard did talk about once how actual patent laws hindered the advance of inventions and that kind of thing.
Bit rot is a new term to me. I had to look it up. It is a thing. I think the solution to bit rot is what we're doing with sharing all of our stuff, including what we're doing this episode right now on BitTorrent, because BitTorrent allows the storage to not, and the instant copying to not be in one central location and be spread among many people, which has several advantages. One is if I get droned and our website gets taken offline by a government, it's all still out there and people have the ability to instantly share it all the time. And if I did get droned, it'd probably get shared more by far, not less. The other thing is, while there is bit rot of a file resident on a single hard drive, before the bit rot occurs, if you make a copy of it, there's no bit rot in the copy. And if it's copied frequently enough, there would be no bit rot 100 generations down with digital copies.
Yeah, according to how the whether you're copying from one computer to the other, or just copying the same file onto like a disk or whatever, and then I would agree.
Yep. Well, let's take a little break and sell some stuff and come back for the final redemption in the third act.
Okay.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiend's message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
You're listening to the Anarchy Gumbo Podcast. That proves you're smarter than most people.
Welcome back to the Anarchy Gumbo Podcast. This is Mr. Michael Dean, and today we got Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. Ben, did you see the picture of the old man taking a picture of a squirrel looking into the camera lens, like right into the lens on the Freedom Fiends?
I saw that. That's pretty good. It's even better than the one with the squirrel holding the shoulder-mounted rocket.
Because it's real. Yeah, it reminded me of you. It's an old man taking a picture of a squirrel.
Yeah, when we were out on the road, we got to see, different types of squirrels live all over the country.
Give us a squirrel report.
The squirrel, squirrel report.
Avoid bit rot with the Bad Quaker.
It's funny because some of the campgrounds we were in, you would have thought there would have been a lot of squirrels because there was a lot of food for them, and there just wasn't. I think it's my suspicion that some of the campground owners actively poison the squirrels because squirrels, they can be pretty damaging. Yeah. And so I think some of them actively poison the squirrels.
They should shoot them, man. It's a lot more humane. Poisoning can take days or weeks. No, not shoot the people. Shoot the squirrels.
Shoot people who poison squirrels?
No, they should shoot squirrels, man. That's what God made 22s for.
Yeah, and even a good pellet rifle. You can kill a squirrel with a pellet rifle.
I don't want to talk about this. It's depressing me. I feed squirrels, man. I spend many dollars a week on peanuts for the many squirrels in our neighborhood. My neighbors probably hate it. I don't know. No, the neighbors across the street feed squirrels, too, by hand, which I wouldn't do. It's kind of scary, but...
Yeah, they can get really friendly. Squirrels can get really friendly.
And they can be really diseased.
We had a crow at one of our campgrounds that we were at that would fly up and hang around looking for, freebies. And we would put bread out for him. He really appreciated that. At one campground, the geese were so aggressive that as we were backing into the spot, as we're pulling in initially to get parked in the campground, a whole greeting squad of geese came up honking at us. And I'm outside trying to hook up the electric and hook up the sewer and everything, and the geese are just ganged around me, honking at me, wanting handouts. I could have wrecked over at any point. Yeah. wanting a geese tax. I could have, reached out and grabbed one at any moment, but
I just added to the tags for this episode, geese welcoming committee. you never know what people are going to search, and it is relevant.
Yeah, it is.
So, were you going to talk? I think we should end here with some more talk about the pros and cons of living on the road and looking for libpair in all the right places.
Well, my daughter Kai right now is on the Appalachian Trail.
Yeah, but she's a hippie.
Yeah, she is, and according to her words.
Yeah.
And that's it's kind of interesting because there's a whole subculture that just kind of moves up and down the Appalachian Trail every year. I was thinking about, we've seen being on the road, we've seen these Cobra teams that are, you know, Homeland Security Cobra teams. And we were even pulled over by one in Illinois. Ugh. And we've come to the conclusion that in our travels, we're going to go however far we have to go to keep from being in Illinois, because they're just, you know, they're very aggressive. They took my phone.
Wow.
Nasty little monsters they are. But
there's nothing like that in Wyoming. I'm sure there will be eventually. But Wyoming, literally, one of the reasons we live here is because it is years behind the rest of the tyranny in the country. Unless you smoke dope, and we don't smoke dope. But there aren't enough people here to deal with it.
I think if my wife and I don't smoke pot either, and I think if we did, we would be under.
Say smoke dope. We're old. Say smoke dope.
We don't smoke on
marijuana
the dopes.
In Muskogee.
Yeah, but that's one of the safety features. You know, if you're on the road like that all the time, and a cop has any reason at all to suspect. I'm losing words.
To anyway, F with you.
Yeah, they can just rip your stuff apart looking through things, and you know, that's just a big long hassle that you don't need to deal with.
And they can anyway, but it looks bad if they don't find anything.
Right.
Especially if you're videotaping them.
Yeah. And if you're a harmless Quaker minister traveling the, you know,
the highways and byways and back roads of America, doing good, solving mysteries
and spreading the gospel.
Yeah, which is a good front for being an anarchist. But no, it's not a front, because it's really what you do. I guess that's another question about laws in different states when you're traveling. Like, for instance, if I were going to do that, I would have the latest version always of that book, The Gun Laws of the 50 States.
And I do. I have that actually in my book collection in the motorhome.
Is it the latest edition?
It is, yeah, 2013.
I think someone should make an app for an iPhone. That would, you know, an easy kind of statist one I was thinking of is there's a website that you can enter what state your concealed carry permit's in, and it'll tell you what states it's valid in, you know, and then there's asterisks of like, well, you can do this in the state, but not this. That'd be a good iPhone app, I think.
I think that would be an excellent idea. I know an attorney in the Northwest who has made iPhone apps in the past and actually makes money off of them.
Okay, now what you should do is combine that one with the normal National Organization for Marijuana Reform has a similar map of what the drug laws, pot laws are, the dope laws, smoking dope laws in each state, and you can make a guns and weed app.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah.
I don't know that he would take that. He's a gun guy, a really fanatical gun guy, but I don't know that he'd go in the other direction.
Well,
as
he
well.
Needs to see Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, if he is fanatical in one direction and against the other, or not into the other.
That's true.
Not
everyone
pro
should see
the other. Yeah.
Everyone should see Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom.
Yeah. So tell us more. Tell us more about what you learned and what you're going to do. And then we'll wrap it up, because I twatted that I'm doing this interview, and people are like, I can't wait to hear it. Get it up right now. So the squirrels have spoken. The Liberty squirrels have spoken.
Well, I have a fairly dim view of the future in ways. I think the state is going to continue to grow in its strength and its oppression. And I think eventually highway travel is going to be much like airplane travel. I can't fly on an airplane now. It's just not an option for me, because I cannot tolerate having a person manhandle me, search me, put me through a machine, tell me when I can and can't speak, and get in this line, don't get in that line. And I'm not going to tolerate that. So I avoid the conflict of getting arrested by not being around TSA agents. And so eventually I think, you know, train travel is very rapidly going the way of air travel, and bus travel eventually is going to be the same. And eventually the highways are not going to be available for people to freely move around on. And the advantage of being familiar with back roads, I think, is in the next 30 to 40 years is going to be really important to anarchists, because I think we're going to lose the ability to use the major highways. But there are so many back roads that if we're more familiar and can move around, you know, there's good things about being like in the Free State Project, where you have a lot of local support and a network of local people that can help each other out. But there's also a real advantage to being able to just hop in a vehicle and take a back road and disappear off into nowhere and just not be seen.
And you used to be kind of a biker, right? So I think that's part of the influence of you feeling that way and knowing that.
Definitely. I've still got my Harley is still sitting in the garage here. I've got over 750,000 miles on motorcycles. So, yeah, that inner desire just to hit the road and feel the wind in your face and not have any connections to anything is always in the back of my mind.
Cool, man. Well, it's been really good having you on, and we look forward to a lot more weekly, daily, hourly updates from the Bad Quaker. We've missed it, man.
Yeah, starting Monday.
Worms.
Take care of yourself, Michael.
All right. Just a quick addendum for the true fiends out there who listen to all the stuff right when it goes up. Ben is going to be the co-host for Freedom Fiends Live on LRN this Sunday, March 10th, 2012. Nima's got to work that day. So Ben's going to be there. Bad Quaker. All right. Worms.
Thank you for listening to the Anarchy Gumbo Podcast. Subscribe at kittyfeet.com. That's KittyFeet.com.
Anarchy Gumbo is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network.
All with a rotating guest on a spit, barbecued for your pleasure.
Outtakes, yay.